Good morning, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Sunrise Project call on this 300th Sunrise Project Sunday. I'm so happy that we are here together, as I say every single week, and I really mean that today. Today's a special day. We've been doing this for 300 weeks, and that feels really special. And everybody that joins us and comes here is special and important and worthy of all that we're working on with our families. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And as you can see, Dr. Linda McGee, who is here with us as our resident expert and who has been with us since the very, 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 very beginning, back in 2020, she is our special guest again today for this open session. Most of you know Dr. McGee because I see many people who are here every week in our wonderful community. Just a little bit about her. She is an incredible lawyer and psychologist and assistant clinical professor and a visiting assistant professor at George Washington University. And most importantly, she is really an incredible mental health expert and frequent contributor and panelist helping people, particularly people of color in this mental wellness space. She's an author, she's a writer, and she is just a deep, deep, deep friend to Sunrise and to many of us who are on this call this morning. So we're opening up the call as we always do. I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Linda. We do this every first Sunday, where we have Dr. Linda here just to share and put out there what might be on our hearts and know that this is a safe space and we're all going through something, possibly. And if you want to share, there's an opportunity for you to do so. So, first of all, I'd like to say, Dr. Linda, thank you for being here and for being in your car and driving. You're always here no matter what. You show up, and I
Well,
appreciate you.
I'm not driving. I'm at the side of the road at a M&L country store somewhere in Delaware.
That's awesome.
And I'm on my way to a meeting that where a couple of Black women and I celebrate and plan for the next year. And we've done it
Awesome.
for 2 years. And as I was telling you and Dee before you guys came on the phone call, I've just really decided that 2026 is going to be a changing year for me. And
Yes.
I've decided it. So I wanted to though go back to your comment about this being the 300th show. Kelly, I don't know if you remember, but the first show was about looking at warning signs of depression and anxiety in our
Yes,
children.
I
That was
remember
the
very clearly.
first show. And I don't know, I can't speak to the people listening, but I can speak to Kelly and I a little bit, is that we've come so far since that first show.
We have.
Both of us as individuals, as professionals, as mothers. And I'm happy and proud of where we are. That
Me
doesn't mean
too.
that we're not dealing with kids and dealing with health and dealing with the challenges of treating those people. My particular challenge right now is dealing with diversity in this environment. And but you know what, Kelly? I broke out there anyway, and I started a multicultural po psychologist
I
podcast
remember
in the
recently. That's
middle
amazing.
in I'm on the ninth episode, where I
Awesome.
talk to mental health professionals about still treating diversities well,
Awesome.
and with humanity and dignity and psychological competence. I didn't, if you had told me 10 years ago I would have done that, I would have said no. So I don't
Awesome.
want to like pat us on the back, but I would like to say that we have taken the opportunity at Sunrise Project to evolve.
Yes.
And we
It is
are
an
evolving.
evolution. That first call, I remember crying the whole time. I didn't know what to do. It's a whole situation. And I think, I had a lot of blame and guilt and shame and all the things that many of us experience. And it's been such an amazing growth opportunity and such a space of love and sharing and healing that I'm really grateful for.
Well, I applaud you for putting yourself and your situation out there. It's completely
Thank you.
antithetical to how we're raised as Black people. You keep it in the house. You only put the
Oh,
good things up
absolutely.
on social media. Everybody just comes up to you and says, "Where's your kid going to college?" No one
That's right.
assumes that, hey, your kid ain't going to college.
Right. We want him to
And we're
graduate high school. That's it.
even family members, I've learned this as a clinician. Oh, he's gonna be okay. Just put him in basketball. Whatever the excuse is for us not to face up to the problems that we're struggles that we're having with our children. But to just applaud you, you've been putting out that linen, that tea, that drama, the pain and hurt that comes from raising a child that's struggling.
Right. But the real reality is, and I was looking back on these 300 call sheets and notes and all the things. I was looking back at all the incredible learning and all the gifts of people, because you included, you share your time as a volunteer to our small and mighty organization. It's just been such a blessing to have this wisdom. And when I look back on where we were 6 years ago, almost 6 years ago, to where I am today, I've really made a transformation. I think so many people on this call today have too, because I finally see it's about letting them live their dreams. And I from the side and not a stage on the stage. That was such a powerful, piece of wisdom. So I'm excited about all the transition, and I'll share a couple people on this call know this, but this was all started with Kyle, my now 23-year-old, in mind. And at the time, he was smoking weed, and my ex-husband, I thought it was the worst thing on the planet, to be smoking. At the time, it was illegal in Maryland, and so we were so fearful for him. And I'm now, now look back on that, and I'm in a relationship with somebody that said, "Really? You sent him away for smoking weed? It was just weed." And I was like, "Oh, wow, that's a different perspective." And but it helped me see in a good way, in a positive way, the opportunity to experiencing Kyle in a different way without looking at any of the things negatively. So it's an opportunity for such growth. And for seeing how part of my actions, led to some of those behaviors. And again, not with any guilt or shame anymore, more of an opportunity for building starting a new relationship, based on a new Kelly. And all of that comes from the work we do here and the amazing guests like yourself, Dr. Linda. So I want to thank you for being here on this journey with us all this time.
I
And
want
so many of people on the call.
to say, first of all, thanks to the people that think that we are imparting enough for them to get up on a Sunday morning. And we used to actually do it at sunrise, but we're not
We
going to
sure
talk about
did.
that.
6 a.m., 6 a.m., then 7 a.m. That was a little crazy.
But that was a little bit crazy, but I wanted to just make a point. I have gotten so much more out of sunrise than what I have given to it. And it's been a real opportunity for me to grow as a person, as a woman, as a clinician, and as a national psychologist, but and as a mother. So I can't, and just the internal, I was talking to you about guys before we came on air, just the sort of internal processes that I've gone through in the last few years when I've had to struggle with the death of parents. The death of one of my closest friends, my sister, some health challenges. So, Sunrise has grown up with me, and I've grown up with Sunrise.
I love that.
So
That's such a great way to say it. Go ahead,
I
Dr.
want to
Linda.
just put it out there today. What is on your minds? This is the holidays. We're still in chaos America. Relatives are showing up, expectations of our children. Somebody on this line has a kid that came home from college that didn't have the best of news when he came home, or you opened a grade sheet or you're getting ready to open the grade sheet. So what's on your mind? Is anybody out there have any good news or progress or evolution points that they want to share, or any struggles that they want to share? We'd just be happy to hear from you.
I'm looking to see if there's anybody that has come up. It
Hi,
looks
this
like
is Vicki.
Vicky. Hey.
I'll share. Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Linda.
Good
Thank you for the
morning.
question. And Kelly, you're such a great example. Let me just start there. Congratulations again on 300. But your courage and transparency and vulnerability makes it easier for us to do the same. So thank you. And to answer your question, and I'll just put out there, it feels like a challenge and it also feels like growth, Dr. Linda. So I have a young adult who deals with anxiety, and she's now a wife and a mom. And she's in a space right now for, I'm sure, a myriad of reasons, to include two children, two boys under two, and I'm away, that she's in a moment of silence, if I can say it that way. Like, not responding to my calls, not replying to text messages, not answering my calls. And there was a time pre-sunrise that would have sent me over the edge, because I there's nothing I can do, right? And so I'm not ruminating, like using tools that you've shared and other guests have shared over time. It's not easy, but it's easier to give her the space and trust that what I've put in her and what she's grown up and learned on her own, and faith and all of the things, that she's okay. You know, I almost went over the edge with worry because I'm away at an event far away, you know. So I almost went into rumination, but I stopped myself. And so, like I said, it's a challenge. It feels like a challenge, and it also feels like growth. And it also is a moment for me to express gratitude for you being here. I look forward to you being here every first Sunday, and to Kelly sharing repeatedly and consistently. So it's all of that, and it's a big thank you. And it's an example to our community that it doesn't matter who you are, your impact, your accomplishments as a parent, when it comes to our children, it's like the equalizer All
of
around, and the
the moment.
humbler.
Yes. And put you in a place of humility. So I just wanted to share that. That's my truth this morning. And I'm moving through. And like I said, it's not easy, but it's easier. So that's why, you know, I am faithfully here every Sunday. This is a must for me. And so just thank you.
And just for you to recognize that you are making so much progress. It's even progress that's painful is progress. And the recognition of those patterns that you and your daughter at work have, and your reaction to the triggers, it's amazing. But you, I think, will use that muscle more. And even though it will never be easy, it will continue to become easier. And thank you so much for sharing that, because we don't talk that much about our children as parents, right? And the impact that that has, because a lot of women and a lot of mothers that I know respond to their children because they're worried about their grandchildren. And that's not a point that's been brought up a lot on this call. And I just thank you and give you gratitude for bringing that to the surface.
Yes, and thank you for being here every week and for doing our closing prayer and for all and for hosting the monthly Sisters Unfiltered. We so appreciate you and for being my big sister forever, 40 years, I don't know, but appreciate you, Dr. Vicky, so much. Also.
40 years, my goodness.
Yep. As I'm aging myself, ourselves. It's all good. Anyone else want to share? Appreciate that. And while people are maybe thinking about it or sipping on coffee or turning over, I had a big breakthrough over Thanksgiving week. And I don't know if I shared this last week. I think I did. It's all such a blur. But I had a big breakthrough with Kyle and saw that he was in Florida for less than 24 hours because he made a choice that he had to work, which was a huge growth, I thought, opportunity to see and observe and acknowledge, as Taharka shared a few weeks ago, how we need to acknowledge and affirm. And we will have a beautiful day. And then at night, I wanted him to have dinner with me. And while all the young ladies and girls were going to watch Wicked at the movies, and I didn't want to go see Wicked, and he didn't want to go. So a couple people went to have dinner, and he said, "I think I'm gonna go over here and watch the game and have some drinks." And I said, No, come with us, come with us." It's old Kelly, you know, pre 6 years ago Kelly. No, come over here, come with us." And he said, "I don't want to do that. I want to go over here." And so my significant other gently touched my arm and said, "Kelly, he doesn't want to go. You know, let him go." He said, "Let him go." And I said, "Oh my goodness, okay." I said, "Okay," quietly. And then he explained to me that, no, Kyle's grown. He's 23. He wants to go drink and pee. He's going to have dinner with his mother. He's just meeting me. This is all probably really difficult for him. You know, let him have space. Let him have his peace. And there's nothing wrong with that. So that was a big aha. It was like, wow, I hadn't even seen how my pushing was probably pushing him even further. And we had
Right.
such a lovely day. Fast forward to after the movie, I texted, "Hey, Nana's about to come outside. This is where I'm parked. Come on." He comes and hops in the car and he says, "Oh, I met this girl." And he was, you know, excited about meeting this girl downstairs. And I listened, but then I said, and I say, "But," intentionally, I don't like using the word, but I said, "I really don't want you to stay out here because there's a bunch of people in Naples, Florida that I worry about. You know, and I'm not going to go into too much of what I said. I said it, I thought, nicely." And then this tirade started from him about me being racist. And I don't view myself as racist at all. And yet, again, and he just went, started going. And I said, "I'm not bad. I just really am concerned about you and your safety being out here as a tall black man with all black on in the middle of Naples and a bunch of, you know, MAGA signs. I'm concerned." And I didn't hear myself again. And so he went off, "I'm not going anywhere with you." And he jumped out the car and then proceeded to text me some really horrific text messages about me and how I hurt him and how I was not valuable to his life and all these really horrific things and that were really hurtful. It took me to an angry place. I got angry, really upset, and then angry. And again, my friend said, he said, "I need you to put the phone down." And he said, "Let him have space." And he said, I'm a people 100. I've known you over a year, well over a year. And you have said to me countless times, this, and that." He said, "Put yourself in Kyle's shoes. All his girlfriends have been white. All his friends are white. You have them in a swimming, you know, in swimming, a sport of swimming. It's all right. That's his whole life. And so for you to talk about those people, you know, or this group of people in a way, in any sort of negative way, could make him feel like you don't really approve of him, his actions, who he is." And it was a huge aha moment in the midst of my anger about what he was saying, because I went to, "This is disrespectful. How dare him?" And it caused me to take a huge step back and get quiet and look at my actions in a completely different way. And the next day, and also stop the back and forth, which that doesn't help or hurt anything. So the next day, they had a conversation and it was like just a great conversation where there was mutual trust and understanding. And also him saying, "Your mom's not always right, you know, and I understand this." And he also said, "But there's no way you should ever talk to your mother like that under no circumstance." And Kyle said, "I know I feel terrible. I had too much to drink and It was awful, and I feel off. I feel so bad. I need to apologize. And so the big aha for me was to really think about the little things that we say. And I was saying things just, no, I want you to come to dinner with me. It's like, you don't want to go to dinner with you. Leave him alone. It's like those little things. He's 23. He wants to go, hang out at the bar and try to meet a girl. Like, that's normal behavior. And I didn't see it that way. I was looking at him and he was still my little baby that I had to protect. So that was a big, and he sent me a lovely note the next day, text apologizing. I apologized, and we agreed to try to understand each other differently. So that felt really good. I don't know what'll happen next time we're together. I'm sorry for the background noise. I'm in a hospital, and there are the little cleaning machines are driving around at the moment. So sorry about that noise if you hear that. But that's my share, and it felt really good. And again, I'm on a little bit of I'm a little exhausted at the moment, so I'm not sure if I shared that story last week or not. But it was a good moment, and it felt good. And to your point earlier, Dr. Linda, I see the progress. But there's still it's still learning. I still am growing, and there's so much more to learn.
Well, one of the things about popular culture that I don't like is that we talk a lot about aha moments, but the fact of the matter is that aha moments are few and far between, and they're still only a path on the road, right? So you have one bit of insight. Okay, maybe I'm taking this a little bit step too far. Maybe I'm talking when he's grown and can gonna make his own decisions. And he might be on a path to discovery with regard to how adults of different races relate to each other. And he's trying to find his way. He's seeing some things that he thought he'd never see. And
That's
you're
right.
talking in the middle of that. So, and sometimes that might even make him defend his positions even more.
That's right.
Because you're not specifically speaking racist. You're speaking of environment. Like,
That's
it's
it.
midnight. But at some point, it's his responsibility to determine that. And he's gonna, unfortunately, you can't, because he's only telling you 1/100th of the things that he's doing, right? So he's having to figure out, and trust me, Kelly, he's already gotten feedback to your point about maybe being in places and spaces where that are not good for him. But you're getting in the middle of his evolution and his growth, and making him defensive when he might already be on a path to seeing some of the points that you're pointing out to him. And whoever your friend was that was with you is telling you right. I mean, it's like we raise them in Bethesda, we send them to Whitman, and then we expect for them to be perfectly acclimatized to Black environments. And it's just they don't that just doesn't go together.
That's right. Yeah.
But I mean,
Agree.
again, Kelly, you're on the road. It doesn't mean you're never going to have that trigger. It doesn't mean
That's
that you're
right.
not going to like have to step on your tongue on some days. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be successful, right? I mean, right now, this country is one big trigger for Black mothers, right? In terms of the
Right.
safety of our children, with everything that's happening, it's really hard.
Right. That's a goal.
I was on a vacation during Thanksgiving, and same thing. We were in Miami, and son's going out, meeting friends, going to bars, and I'm cringing, but I'm saying nothing. I'm saying this is the first time I'm voicing it is on this air, right? But I wanted to say something, so please don't go out like watch what you drink. Are you driving my rental? I mean, like all of these things that I want to say, and Darian is even older than Kyle, so it's like I have zero excuse to say them, right? I can't say them anymore to a 26-year-old, but the triggers are still there, trust me. I definitely want to say it, but I
Right.
can't anymore.
And you didn't. So that's the choice. And that's the choice. We have a choice of, we can make Tina talks about a self-empowering choice in any situation. And how do we self-empower ourselves
Kelly, I
without
can't hear
triggering
you.
somebody else? Oh, can you hear me now? No? Can you hear me now? Do you hear me now at all or no?
Yes, I do hear you
Okay,
now.
sorry about that. Great. Okay, I was just saying we have an opportunity to choose, like you chose, which is a way to not have any sort of, to view him as he's an adult, he's making decisions, and I have to lean into faith over fear, which we talk about a lot here, and let him make his choices as a man. So that's awesome that you did
Yes.
that.
It's a long road. I'm not going to lie. And like I said, I'm still getting triggered. Anybody else? It's a call. You guys are quiet today. Is that a quiet good, quiet listening, or is that quiet like, oh, it's too much?
Yeah, and it's quiet this morning. That's okay.
This is
Good
Andrea.
morning.
Good morning. I haven't been apart for that long, but I can say I am grateful for this community. As a mom of 13-year-old twins, this community, in the short time that I've been apart, every single time that I get on, I get something. I take something away that's making
Oh.
me a little bit stronger, a little bit wiser. And I feel like every time it's like, that's exactly what I needed to hear in that moment. So God does all things well. And so I know that I am being equipped as a mom of boy-girl twins to make sure specifically that my black son doesn't feel silenced, and that he's given an opportunity to speak when he, in a way that he feels comfortable, and when he feels comfortable, and how he feels comfortable, and not trying to make him like his twin, but celebrate his individuality. So I'm grateful for this community for giving me those tools and skills to know that I'm helping raise emotionally intelligent children. So thank you.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. That makes my heart so full. And I feel the same way. I get a nugget every single time, every single week. And I love that you shared that.
And giving understanding that I even though I didn't hear it, everything in its entirety, it was going out a little bit. Giving your boy space to express emotions other than anger, right? That's the only sort of that's the only way that society kind of endorses is for men to speak generally, is via anger. And to understand that he can be given opportunities to say he's having a bad day, to say that he's happy, to say that he's in love, to say, to express emotions, positive, negative, and neutral, I think really is very beneficial to our boys as they come through adolescence in particular. And then being there to listen when they do express it, which I found to be one of the most challenging things, is to, especially with twins, is to give him his separate space to be.
And you said something also once before, just I believe it was you, Dr. Linda, to say thank you for sharing that. And that's it.
Right, encouraging it.
Without commenting.
I'm so glad that you told me. That's what I've done. It's like, I'm glad you told me that. And it's interesting because it doesn't always pay off in the moment, because a teenager is not going to give you much. And even your adult boy children, adult male children, don't give you much. But what I see in a 26-year-old is that I see now the seeds that I put in, right? And even now, he came, we were in Miami, and I got a chance to spend a lot of time with him. And he was telling me about stuff that happened in high school and, things that he did and trouble that he got into that I never knew about. And I'm like, okay, I had to put the foundation there for him to have someplace to come back to. Right. So it's just like how people tell you to send your children to church when they're young. Setting up the fact that your child can come and now tell you that they were on detention and all these things, the efforts that they went to withhold that information from you, I see now, I'm like, well, maybe that was there, that he had a place to come back to now tell me even some of the stuff and to feel comfortable enough that I wouldn't freak out, right?
Yes, that part, the freak out part. And that's the beautiful
But
thing. You have created that
I,
safe space for him now that he's 26, I think. And
right.
what Andrea
So,
has an opportunity to do is when now while they're 13. That's what's an
right.
awesome
Just
opportunity.
keep putting the seeds there, and finding little bitty opportunities where you pick him up. Hey, dude, what's really happening? You were talking to me about your friend last week. What ended up happening with that? In a way that just encourage, even if he says, nothing, but just give him that time and space. Because I'm saying this and reiterating this is that I've been thinking a lot about why our boys are struggling so much. And we can't control everything, but we can control what happens in our homes. We can control how to communicate. We can control that we are the parent and they are the child. And sometimes we got to make a mature decision even when it hurts. We can decide that we are not gonna like repeat patterns and generational curses and harsh parenting. And I just been really thinking about ways that we can get boys to become more emotionally developed so that we don't see the depression and anxiety and unfortunately suicidality and drug use and what can we do differently and not continue to repeat these patterns.
I saw
But thank
Nashawn
you.
put her. Oh, go ahead, please.
I just want to say real quickly, thank you so much for sharing, and I wish you the best of luck as you bring up those twin teenagers.
Yes, Nashawn, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Kelly and Dr. Linda. First of all, I just want to congratulate you on your 300th episode. I probably have been here for 200 and
Oh,
probably
my
80
goodness.
something. So I've been here since the conception, since I saw you on Oprah that day introducing it and all of that. And at that time, my life was in such a crisis. I think that, and you and I have spoken on the phone, Kelly, when I was going through with my daughter, I was taking care of my mom and my mother-in-law, and both of them had passed away since then. So all the things that we've talked about with my daughter when she had a psychotic break, and and dealing with caregiving and all the things, this show has been like a lifeline for me. And so I just want to say thank you for having the boldness and just the call to do this, right? For so many of us Black parents who are struggling and may not have many outlets to discuss, the things that are impacting our families. And so I just really appreciate you for that. My concern now is that, of course, the same daughter who is now 31, who still lives with us. At Thanksgiving, we had, just a very beautiful Thanksgiving. Of course, that was my birthday as well. And so I had a two for one that day. And so as we go around the table, our tradition is to, talk about what we really are grateful for, right? And so everybody goes around and tells it. And so she had made a statement and said, I'm so glad that I'm not in crisis, that I have not, spiraled into anxiety or depression, and definitely not suicide ideations. I'm not hospitalized. I'm not any of those things. And so we were very, very grateful for all of that. And so later on in the week, she does pay us some rent. It's very small because she works part time. And she has a very good job, works for the state, and all of my kids are in education, but she works there. And so we had a discussion, and her 'cause she's been running around doing door dashing on the side, right? And so I'm like, and she was trying to get another, like a Christmas job or something, like at the mall or someplace, and nobody has called her back, and she just has this panic attitude and frustrated and all of that. But it's also like this sense of desperation. So I said, Taylor, I said, why are you, feeling like this and doing all of these things? What's going on with your money, right? So we found out that she has now gotten into gambling. Right. And I'm like, are you serious? It just made me feel like in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, here's another issue that we are dealing with. And so she got very upset of me even inquiring about that. And she said, Mom, I got it. I got it under control. And I said, well, I thought you said you were going to Gambling Anonymous, and that you got a sponsor and you're talking to your therapist about it. And so she came up with all these other excuses. And so anyway, we kind of got into it via text, right? Because she sent me a text that morning. I just didn't want to deal with it. And then she asked me again, Mom, did you get my text? So then I responded to the text. And she's like, well, I never asked you and Dad, for any help to pay any bills or anything like this. I told you, I got it, Mom, all in capital letters, all of that. And I said, well, Taylor, one of the things that I realized is that what you don't want is accountability. You don't want anybody to call you on your stuff. You don't want to have to address what you are not doing, the commitment that you said you would do, because this is an issue that you created. And so she said, Mom, but I am winning. I said, no, you're not winning. I said, you're losing. That's why you're running around trying to find, another part-time job, because you're always broke. I said, you're always broke. And I said, and this is a cycle. And we, you know, when is this gonna stop? Well, I got it, Mom. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So anyway, long story short, but I guess my question is just not knowing really how to deal with this another issue that she's created, right? Because we talked about the weed and all of that, and that's something that's like she's not going to get. Like she's smoking more than ever. But I'm saying you always have money for weed, but you don't have money for other expenses that you're supposed to be taking care of. And so just not sure really how to navigate this, because she feels like it's not my concern, that it's not my business. And I'm like, but you're in my house, so it is my business. So,
Right.
how do we navigate that with a 31-year-old who is determined to kind of do what she wants to do with her money, but yet staying broke?
Yeah. Well, first of all, man, that's thank you so much for being here and supporting us. And I'm so glad that you've been able to take something away with you every time, and that's the entire point of why we're doing this. So I just want to say thanks to Sean and just thanks for supporting us. Your issue is how parents kind of outlines how parents deal view children and how children view parents, right? So you're talking about a logical situation of accountability, maturation, growth, budgeting, and your role in it. How do you set boundaries? And what she's dealing with is a history of mental health issues and anxiety and how she deals with them. So when she hears accountability, she is feeling like they don't think that I can do it. They don't trust me. She's feeling her own sense of why do I keep finding myself into these situations? I'm 31 years old. When I compare myself to the world and what other 31s your what 31 year olds are doing, I'm not measuring up. Trust and believe me that inside of that anger and defensiveness towards you is a lot of shame, is a lot of guilt, and is a lot of self-esteem failures. So when she's saying you, I got this, read, I don't have this, but there's no, you'll be the last person in the world and I'm gonna admit that to. Right? Because you're my mother and I feel like that I should be doing better. But in the real world of budgets and money, if she's making $100 and she's spending 10 on weed and 10 on gambling and she's only paying you rent a very minimal amount, then you are sort of helping her continue with the system, right? And I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong at this point, but to just understand that you and her and whomever is supporting, helping to support her financially is helping her to sort of perpetuate this unreal world where she doesn't have to pay market value rent. But I also want to ask you, what is she getting? Is she getting the appropriate support, like vis-a-vis therapy, vis-a-vis meds? Is she getting
Yes.
appropriate support?
Yes. So
Okay.
she's been in therapy for a long time since she's been back here with us, and she graduated from college, right? And she's on her medication. And
Is
so,
it helping?
you know, there are it is, but there are times where we can tell if she's missed or haven't taken it. And so she feels like, well, I'll take it later on today, those kind of things. But it just, I told her the same thing. I said, listen, I said, Taylor, if you were living anywhere, I said, you couldn't live anywhere for the amount that you're giving us. And because we've been trying to help her get out of that, she has school, a school loan. She took out a personal loan for some other stuff that we were surprised to find out that she did. And so it's like, she's constantly chasing, trying to get caught up, but yet she'll spend her money. Like she was working at this event planning place where she does incredible work there on the side. And things went left, and so the lady paid her out, a couple of $1,000 for this last event, and she went and gambled it, the whole thing. And I'm like, what is happening? So she and I told her, I said, the only reason why you're doing this is because you can, because you're under our roof. I said, if you had an apartment, you would be evicted right now.
And I think what you can control is that you've made your point. Trust me, your point has been made about getting your life together, getting your finances together. Your point has been made a million times, but you're kind of underlining that and undermining that with your actions, right? Which is to continue to subsidize her. And so, like, my only suggestion is that you and your husband or whomever is helping,
My
whoever's in
husband.
the home with her, is to like sit down and think about what your boundaries are, what your goals are, right? If your goals have to do with her becoming more autonomous, then you have to move in that direction. But even if your goal is not for her to move out, like that's a bridge that's very far right
Yeah,
now.
that's been a goal for a while, is to, yeah, and I try to
Yeah.
bring that as a to the forefront for her. Like, what's the big picture in mind? You keep saying you don't want to live, you want to move out on your own and move to Atlanta or wherever you want to move, but yet she keeps doing the things to sabotage that, and it keeps her here with us.
Because she knows that you will be there with her, right? And so you're in many ways doing an enactment. So even though both of your goals are to get her there, I think the steps may not be aligned with that. And so you and your husband sit down and say, like, we're subsidizing her for this amount in rent, but she continues to do things like gambling. And it's very, very difficult and tricky when you have a 31-year-old that's dealing with this kind of emotional history. So you don't want to put so much pressure that you create an even worsening mental health condition. So that's why I'm really not, because I don't know what the details are, I'm kind of hesitant about saying dropping down any hard lines right now. But I will say this, like, think about what your goals are and talk to her about what their goals are and some concrete steps that you want to take in that direction, right? Like, if you see her going to Gamblers Anonymous, if you see her taking steps, then, go with that. But if you see her not really taking steps and repeating the same mistakes over and over again, if you continue to align yourself with that, it's taken as that, it's taken as a pattern, right? It's taken as it's okay that she does this. Again, when you have $100 and you're spending $20 on weed and gambling, that can only occur in the circumstances where they have subsidized rent.
Yes, I understand.
And so, you know, like I'm not giving you any hard lines. I'm saying that maybe you and your husband, and with the help of a mental health professional or consultant, think about some concrete ways that you can work with her differently and break out these patterns from, you know, you should be doing this. Obviously, that communication system is not working with her, as
Yeah.
well-meaning and as loving as y'all are.
Okay. Thank you.
Kelly, do you have any comments on that?
I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how hard it is when
It is.
you know that the person has, you know, you're providing and you're helping and you want the best and you see
And you're ready to get
they're
on with
making
your life.
choices. Right.
Yeah.
I was just
You
going to
when you're I
suggest
mean,
I
I
did.
have a 26, when I'm a 20, you have a 26-year-old, 30-year-old, you're ready to start doing your own living. And I know that that's crossed Nashawn's mind without even asking her that. And you're like,
Absolutely.
when is it going to be my turn to like go, you know, do what I want to do?
Right. One thing I did with my a fam with a family member recently was we put together like a very loving, and Nashawn, if you text me your number again, I think I have it, but I can text it to you. It was like a loving, it wasn't even a contract, it was an agreement, and it said, here's our agreement, and we're willing to help with this and these things on this timeline. Here's our understandings. And it was really written in a very, very different way than what I had done in the past with Kyle, which was like a contract. You gonna do this, this. It was written with this is the objective, like what you said. Your objective is to get to Atlanta. We all want that for you. This is what, you know, and within this, we will allow you to live here at this amount for. Over the next year, it's going to look like this. You pay this amount for the next 3 months, and it's going to start staggering up. So by the end of this next, whatever your period is, but by the end of the next year, you will be able to pay your own rent. And that may look like you have two jobs, three jobs, whatever, but you start staggering it up, and you're going to, you know, also pay the light bill or whatever the things are. And that way, when you know, you give them some accountability, but it was written with such love, I have, with the help of ChatGPT, but loving and also encouraging. And then some of the language, I do agree with Dr. Linda, which is still really hard for me, is to acknowledge and affirm. You know, the when she said at Thanksgiving dinner, I'm so grateful that I haven't had an episode, I believe, something like that. Such that's so beautiful. And like acknowledgement and affirming that, I think, and to start helping her build her own self-esteem, because I agree, people, our kids know when they, you know, they wish they had made some different choices, maybe they know, so they don't need to hear it from us. And which is as hard, it's just really hard. I know that
It's very, very hard.
firsthand. I do see, however, when I make acknowledgments and I say, Kyle, I'm so, that's amazing. I'm not amazing. I'm glad you chose to work. I'm gonna miss you. We'll all miss you Thanksgiving. However, it was a good choice. You just got that job. That's a good choice to work on Thanksgiving. And we'll see you, you know, another day. And I just paused right there, you know, and he felt it. I could see it. It's like almost like, you know, he stood a little taller. I felt his energy change. And that's the goal, is to keep it there when that when those moments happen where I'm like, you did what? And that's the hard part.
I totally, we definitely affirmed her big time, and we were so grateful. We're always doing that portion of doing that as well, what you said. And so I appreciate what both of you guys have said. And yes, Kelly, I would love for you to send me that. And because like Dr. Linda said, the other way I may be responding is not working, that community. So we need to change something different. And I love what you said, just, you know, kind of escalate the amount up, you know, through the time frame, and so that she can, you know, be able to do what she says she wants to do on her own. So thank you guys both. This really blessed me. Thank you.
Kelly.
I'm talking on mute again. Someone just said they would love to do a contract writing or just some, to conversation around that, and happy to do that. I've
I mean,
learned
it
how
just.
to not do them, and I'm learning now how to do it, a very different tone.
Well, I was just going to point out, and I know we're at the end of our time, but this kind of just brings to my mind two things. It's like we're talking about a contract, but we're really talking about underlying is communication systems, right? And I was trying to tie this together before, but I couldn't quite do this. But it's a system where you acknowledge that there are issues, but that you're not constantly just speaking on the negative because you're so frustrated, right? It's understandable how why we got there, but to understand that it's being heard on the other side is that my parents think that I'm never going to be able to do this, right? Because that's what they're telling themselves, despite of the fact that they're arguing with you and they're defending their actions. Deep down inside, there's a deep sense of shame that they're in the positions that they're in. So when we're talking about a letter or communications, it kind of needs to reflect a different system of communications, where it's like we lovingly affirm you. We are giving you the autonomy and the support to figure it out, because in the end, that's what we're worried about, is that our child will never be able to figure this out on their own. But the fact of the matter is as hard as this is for us, they have to figure it out on their own. You cannot do it for them. If you could do it for them, it would be done. But you have to let go and, have them do it. And so, like, your communications is reflected in the writing or in the contract, right? And so, but you have to have a mindset change on communications before you can sit down and memorialize it and write it down.
I love that. And we will absolutely revisit that. And I know we're out of time. However, I see Jules' hand up. Do you have a comment? Please share. And thank you for
I
that.
will be very, very quick. Thank you so much for being on this journey with you all. And through this journey, I have learned how to focus on myself and my own growth. I've had everything now from navigating the 988 system through your support, and from the different guests. I am very well versed now with the residential rehabilitation program through the guests that you've had on. Tina Lifford's Big Little Lies book, it has been game changing and life changing for me. It has made such an incredible difference on how I move. Actively been working on the unlearning and really communicating that with my family members. So from the first time when they were like, she tripping, is it menopause or she just crazy, to just like, oh my gosh, she's actually serious and she's learned and she's talking to us different. I too have learned how wonderful it is to have ChatGPT say, this is what I'm saying and this is what I'm feeling. Can you make it kinder? Can you make it coachable? Can you put the different stances? That's what I learned. And it has made an incredible difference from my children because my son's like, your tone is different. I mean, it's just very different. And I'm okay now saying that I had to unlearn and I'm relearning to be a better parent. And I'm just proud to say that I just get a lot more positive feedback based on it. And, 29th was my son's birthday, and he came over. And one of the areas, and I just want to say that for the last caller, what I had to learn in him living and went to supportive housing and he moved to Baltimore, there's no way in the world I could live where he is living. So part of it was my ego having an issue that maybe where he was saying was not in the standard in which blah, 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 right? But that's a me thing. And I wouldn't have been able, if I didn't go on this journey, to be able to say, you know what, just encourage and say, what else do you need for your apartment or whatever it is? And I was like, what are you going to get for $600 or $700 a month. But the fact that he is in these programs and his health is being monitored, I knew none of those things prior to Sunrise. So I just wanted to just publicly acknowledge the journey and the great and deep appreciation. But put out there, most of the work has been in my adjustment, though. And so my adjustment reflected what ended up happening with my kids. And that was hard. And my therapist is very well off.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome.
Have a good one. Thank you.
You too. And we are, you know, I think that sums it up. It's all about changing ourselves to change anything around us, particularly our children. But how we show up is how they show up and how others show up. And Dr. Lindsay, do you have any final words before Dr. Vicky closes?
Yeah. Yes, I want us to revisit this at some point in time. But what I want to say is that we're right. We have to, the changes has to come from within us, because that's the only thing we have power over. And so we have to work on ways to support our children without letting all of the things that have been steeped in us, like the fear, the anger, the regret. All of that is what comes out of our mouths when we communicate with our children. And we need to like work on and evolve ourselves, not blaming us, but work on how that communication with our children doesn't reflect those things.
Perfect. Perfectly said. Thank you again. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the community. And Dr. Vicky, we'll turn it over to you to close us out this Sunday morning.
Thank you. There was a question about a book that was referenced in the chat.
It's Tina Lifford's book, The Little Book of Big Lies. I will put it in the chat. It's The Little Book of Big Lies. And I will say it's one of my favorite books as well. It challenges us to think about, you know, up until now, but from this point forward, and how we can make different choices. I put it in the chat. It's on Amazon. The Little Book of Big Lies, Tina Lifford. Yeah.
So God, we thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given to us. Thank you for session number 300 and for Kelly's vision, for her commitment and consistency. We thank you for Dr. Linda and how she's been such a blessing to us, even as you've been working and healing in her life and in her family. Thank you for Dee and this entire community, for every household represented, for every parent, every child. We're so grateful for the wisdom that you deposit to us on a weekly basis. Again, we pray extra blessings upon Kelly. Thank you for giving her grace to manage all that is on her plate. We lift up her family, her mom, and all that her hands are assigned to do. Bless us as we go further into this day. And thank you again for allowing us to convene every Sunday at 9 a.m. and bring us back together again on next week. In your name, we do pray and give you thanks. Amen. Have a powerful day, everyone.
Amen. Thank you all. Have a good day. Bye.